We pray. O Lord God, you have brought us safely to this hour of evening prayer, and we thank you for providing all that we need for body and life. Bless us who have gathered in your name, forgive our sins, speak to our hearts, dispel our sorrows with the comfort of your word, and receive our hymns of thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold the Father's love. Behold the Son's grace. Behold the Spirit's patient teaching. Please come to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Show us your love, show us your grace, and bind us together through your gospel of peace.
Father in heaven, we come before you out of need. You provide all that we need for body and life. You shower us with blessings too numerous to count. But our response to your generous care falls short in every way. We are sinful from birth, and we have also sinned against you daily through things we have said, thought, and done. We can do nothing to erase the record of our sins, and so we come before you seeking help for our greatest need. Forgive us, Father, and take away our guilt. God's word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It also tells us that God has in Christ reconciled the world to himself, not charging our sins to us. Therefore, by the power and command of our Lord Jesus, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Now redeemed from sin and hell, with all thy ransomed souls I dwell, my joyful song shall ever be, God has been merciful to me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and the shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and to follow him wherever he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue our reading of the Passion History of our Savior Jesus. Reading 6, Jesus' Death on the Cross. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. It was the third hour when they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left, and Jesus in the middle. Thus the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was counted with the lawless ones." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened above his head on the cross. The written charge against him read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them. They cast lots to see what each would get. The undergarment remained. It was a seamless, woven in one piece. It was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among themselves and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. The people too stood watching. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Even the rulers sneered at him. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him heaped insults on him. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. We pause now as we sing the psalmody from Psalm 38.
Merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
hasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor is there any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone now. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him and take him down." When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he bowed his head and gave up his life. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. The centurion who stood there in front of Jesus and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified. Yet they praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man. Surely he was the Son of God." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him stood at a distance. This included many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs, among them Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome the mother of Zebedee's sons. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may have faith. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Here ends the Passion history. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
I invite you to rise for the confession of faith. We unanimously believe, teach, and confess the following about the righteousness of faith before God. This happens without any preceding, present, or subsequent works, out of pure grace, because of the sole merit, complete obedience, bitter suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Christ alone.
His obedience is credited to us for our righteousness. These treasures are brought to us by the Holy Spirit in the promise of the Holy Gospel.
Faith alone is the only means through which we lay hold on, accept, apply, and take them for ourselves.
This is God's faith, by which we truly learn to know Christ, our Redeemer, in the word of the gospel, and trust in him. We trust that for the sake of his obedience alone, we have the forgiveness of sins by grace, are regarded as godly and righteous by God the Father,
This is most certainly true.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke
that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hopes have built. I invite you to rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. Our text for our sermon this evening is recorded in Luke 23, verses 6 to 12. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior, dear fellow redeemed in him. There was once a little boy who went for a visit to his grandma's house. And during morning breakfast, he noticed there was a plaque that his grandma had hanging up on the kitchen wall. It had four words inscribed on it, which he spelled out slowly and read out loud. Thou God seest me. The inquisitive lad then asked his grandma, pointing up at the plaque, what does that mean? My dear boy, she replied, thou God seest me means that Jesus loves you so much that he can't take his eyes off of you. This evening, in our concluding series, of Lent meditations under the theme Ironies of Jesus' Passion, we want to consider why we're able to rejoice and find comfort in the Lord seeing us. You probably know the Bible verse, we love him because he first loved us. It's also true, we can see him by faith because he first saw us in love and determined to bring us into his eternal family. This in a world where many people, they would like to see God or see Jesus, but they can't, at least not for who he really is, because they're oblivious to wherein his glory truly consists. The man we hear about in our text who wanted to see Jesus very badly is Herod. This was the Herod who was the son of Herod the Great, who ruled in Israel at the time of Jesus' birth, the Herod who enlisted the wise men to try to find the baby Jesus and who tried to kill him by slaughtering all the infant boys at Bethlehem. This Herod was Herod Antipas. He was the one who was responsible for the death of John the Baptist. He was Tetrarch of Galilee, which means that he governed the territory up to the north of Judea where Nazareth was located, and Capernaum, the city that Jesus made his home base after he had been thrown out of Nazareth, and where he had done a lot of his ministry and miracles. So it isn't surprising that word had reached Herod Antipas's ears about Jesus. The people of his realm were buzzing all about him. How he fed a huge crowd with a scant amount of food on the eastern shore of Lake Galilee. He changed water into fine-tasting vintage wine at Cana of Galilee at a wedding. He performed miracles up in Capernaum, like healing a centurion's paralyzed servant, a royal official's deathly sick son from a distance, another paralyzed man that was let down through a roof in front of Jesus on a stretcher. And so when Governor Pilate showed Herod this professional courtesy of having the renowned miracle worker from Nazareth escorted into his very presence during a visit to Jerusalem, he was tickled pink. Now I finally get to see the man I've heard so much about. I can have him provide me and my entourage with some entertainment. Maybe we can have him perform some magic acts, cause a meal to appear out of nowhere, a table rise in the air, or pull a rabbit out of a hat. It'll make for great fun. But Herod's elation over seeing Jesus was soon changed to scorn. For when Jesus did not go along with his worldly-minded wishes, not even uttering a word, he was more than a little bit perturbed. So he decided, did Herod, to transform the opportunity he thought he'd have for having fun into an opportunity to make fun of Jesus. And as his enemies stood there shouting their accusations, Herod's soldiers then made sport of him by dressing him up in a colorful robe, heaping ridicule upon Jesus' kingship claims, very likely also made a point of paying him full homage by saluting him and kneeling down in front of him like Pilate's soldiers would do later on. Herod Antipas, he's an example of a person who wanted to see Jesus, but only on his terms, as somebody who could satisfy his entertainment needs. His heart was blinded by unbelief so that he couldn't see Jesus for who he really is. The truth that Jesus is our heavenly King, come from heaven to atone for our sins and bring us life to the full, that wasn't even a blip on the radar of Herod's heart. Could not comprehend he even needed such a king. We see the same class of people, don't we, in our world today. Many still would like to see Jesus, but on their own terms. They don't want a Savior who reveals to them their lost, sinful condition, who calls them to repentance and faith in him, and whose glory consists in his coming here as their Redeemer to take their sins away. The gospel message of a loving God who made his Son who knew no sin to be sin for them, that they might be dressed in a gorgeous robe of his holiness, can't appreciate. May even want to be part of a church, be a member of a church, where they can come to not to be instructed in God's word, but to be amused, where the preacher will wow them with polished oratory, interesting stories and words of human wisdom, but the simple message of John 3:16 just doesn't appeal to them. They view that as boring and not relevant to day-to-day living. Friends, aren't we also subject to this temptation of taking for granted this simple message of Christ crucified? Because we've heard it before. How many Lenten services have we been to in our lives? Perhaps grown up learning about it from little on and maybe not to delight in it as we ought to, as the Savior bids us do for our heart's comfort. Maybe sometimes hankering for something new and exciting by worldly standards. May the Lord protect us from that temptation and forgive any weaknesses that we may have exhibited in that regard. And to again emphasize the greatness and the sweetness of that simple gospel message, John 3:16. Just think how by nature, apart from the Holy Spirit's work of gifting us with eyes of faith, we could not see Jesus for who he really is. Couldn't look forward, certainly, to see him in person in heaven. Remember what God told Moses on Mount Sinai when he requested to have God show him his glory, what the Lord said? He said, Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live, no sinful man. And remember Isaiah's reaction when the Lord granted him that spectacular vision of his majesty in the throne room of heaven. He cried out in sheer panic, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a sinful man, man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have actually seen the holy King, the Lord of glory. So yeah, left to ourselves, as we were by nature, we could not see Jesus. Not now by faith, not ever in person. But praise be to the Lord, we can see Jesus now by faith. That's why we're here this evening. Thanks to God's gracious work of enlightening us by the gospel. We love to behold his love in action, his mercy for us undeserving sinners, painted for us in such beautiful colors in the Passion history, loving us as his own, we who are in the world, even to the very end. We love to see him, and we do see him by eyes of faith, as the great I am, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, as the one Zechariah prophesied about, whom we'll hear about this coming Sunday, on Palm Sunday, who would come to his people meek, lowly, riding on a donkey to offer his life a ransom, who would manifest his true greatness by being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, by performing his miracle cure upon our sin-sick souls and making us spiritually whole and healthy as you are now. That's why you love to sing, let me see my Savior's face, let me all his beauties trace. Show those glorious truths to me, Lord, which are only known to thee. And with aged Simeon, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And yes, our eyes shall see him in person, too, on the last day. Everyone will see him, including the unbelieving Herods of the world to their eternal sorrow. But we, not to our panic, to our sheer delight. And then we'll know just how blessed we are to be able to know and to say, even now, thou, God, seest me. Amen. Let's continue now by singing together the hymn as printed in your bulletin. On my Life's riches, cares, and pleasures nevermore your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. Let us pray. O Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who suffered the anguish and death of the cross to win forgiveness of our sins and eternal life, we humbly thank you for giving yourself for us. It is with both sadness and joy that we view your suffering and death. Deep sorrow fills our hearts because we know it was our sins that brought you to the cross. Our sins were so many and great that nothing less than your holy, precious blood could atone for them. Had we and our first parents not sinned, your bloody and painful sacrifice would have been unnecessary. Yet great joy also fills our hearts, dear Savior, for your suffering and death are evidence of the great love of our kind and merciful God. God loved us and sent you, his Son, to satisfy divine justice for our sins. As we commemorate the sacrifice you made, your body and blood given and shed for us, this is our sorrow that we are great sinners, but this is our great joy that God is love and forgives all our sins for your sake. Let us never become careless as we confess our sins or grow cold toward the love and mercy of our God or despise the sacrifice you made in our behalf. Ever make the eternal redemption you won for us the treasure of our hearts and desire of our souls. Through the love that you have shown to us and the eternal life that is our sure promise, strengthen the new man in us that we may daily put to death our sinful flesh and evermore live righteously as true children of our Heavenly Father. You who have redeemed us to God by your own blood, hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and save us from an eternal death. Hear our prayers and supply our needs and comfort us in all things that distress us. O precious Savior, we praise your holy name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Child of God shall meet no
this night will surely from peril guard your heads. Sweet slumbers may he send you and bid his hosts attend you. And through the night watch o'er your heads. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.